let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the fight. Feel the rush, can't kill the stride. Eyes ahead, I'm moving strong. This is the anthem, let's sing along.
Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
Well, yeah, I just feel like anytime it's a sunny day or I've been in the sun, I just feel that biology of joy. Yes. I think it's also, yeah, appreciation we know is good, which I feel is connected to that. And then when we can appreciate what we're really putting on our bodies also feels good.
Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant by aligning your life in the seven pillars of abundance. And today, we have a true pioneer in the world of holistic beauty, oral health, and natural wellness. Welcome to the show, Nadine Artemis.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy you're here. I'm going to tell my audience a little bit about your wonderful background. So Nadine Artemis is the founder of Living Libations and the best-selling author of Holistic Dental Care, which she was so nice to send me, and Renegade Beauty. Great books. She is a visionary formulator whose work has been featured in the New York Times, Vogue, and the Hollywood Reporter. Nadine has spent decades exploring the connection between beauty, biology, microbiome health, and the body's innate wisdom. Today, we're diving into hidden ingredients that may be disrupting your skin, hormones, and mood, and how to cultivate more joy through scent, breath, and nature, and what every woman should know about breast health, oral health, and feminine vitality. Nadine, let's jump into it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So your work challenges many conventional beauty beliefs. What first led you down the path of becoming what some might call, and what your book is called, a renegade beauty pioneer?
Well, I grew up in the 80s, which is a lot of not natural things.
Yeah.
But through that, I actually, in grade 9, did a science fair project creating a perfume using essential oils, because I found a book at the library that talked about the origins of perfume and that the distillates were called essential oils and you could probably find them in your health food store. So that was sort of one of the first adventures into like, oh, there's something natural. It's not like we had a full definition then of like, you know, it's the 1980 scentscape of like watermelon and Glade air fresheners, but it spoke to me. And then when I got to university, I was like just diving deep into food and like understanding like organic and processed and just how to read grocery store labels. And I just did a deep dive. And then through that, I turned to like what was my Body Shop products at the time, which we thought were natural. And I was reading those labels and then realizing, you know, the fuzzy peach oil had never been impeached and that dewberry is not a plant. And that really it was just still another petroleum promised land of ingredients that I didn't want to put on my body. And so that was kind of a fun moment too, because it kind of gave me this excuse to concoct again. Because as a kid, I was always just mixing stuff up, like raiding my mom's bathroom and putting her Joy Chanel or her Chanel perfume with like baby powder and see what. So that was really fun to dive deep into that. As I was going to university, I sort of just had this whole other side project and I started creating products and body oils and lip balms and perfumes. And then I had this palette of essential oils, which weren't really known that much at the time, but they were just such fascinating ingredients because they're very bioactive. And, you know, depending on the one, like there's sort of an aromatherapy reputation where we just think, oh, they're just pretty scents, you know, it's like potpourri level. But if you're talking about genuine distillates There's, you know, there's a real medicinal quality to a lot of them to varying degrees. There's a anti-inflammatory, they're circulatory, they're antibacterial, antifungal. So besides, you know, rose just smelling so beautiful, it actually is quite medicinal. And so I was really interested in like creating truly engaging and active ingredients that were working with the body. And then later understanding the microbiome, because we didn't really know about the microbiome in the 1990s. We thought the stomach was a sterile environment. But then that gave a whole new depth, because what we were making was completely synergistic with the skin. It was sort of like what I was creating was a biological homecoming for our skin, and so that we didn't have to like assault it with chemicals that really may have just sort of temporarily plumped things up, or we felt, you know, they were adding to our beauty, but really, you know, creating things like cellular water loss, or, you know, endocrine disruptors, and all of that started to get known more and more what we were putting on our body. And I think in the long term, it isn't in the name of beauty at all, but could even be creating, you know, things that we're going to have to find solutions for later in life.
Yeah. Like health scares.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
What is an endocrine disruptor mean? I know a lot of people say that scents that are not natural, perfumes and hairsprays and air fresheners. What does that mean, an endocrine disruptor, for my audience to know?
Yeah, well, endocrine is a bigger word that just sort of means the hormonal system in simple terms. And so there are ingredients that can disrupt that communication of that system. But even beyond an endocrine disruptor, quote unquote, there's like, you know, they can get the parabens they're finding in like diseased breast tissue, for example. When they examine that, about 98% of all diseased breast tissue had parabens in it. And paraben is like a classic preservative. It's even in can be in a certified organic skincare as well. It's allowed. And it's an ingredient that's only ever needed at like, if you're putting in a formula, it would be like 0.01%. So it's very minuscule, but that's showing up. So it's very tenacious. And, you know, we can use other things. So it was just, it's like a whole kind of rabbit hole of ingredients that we just don't need. No pore in our body is parched for a petroleum byproduct, especially in the name of beauty.
Yeah. Is paraben on the label, or is it paraben described?
It's a methyl paraben. Yeah. Now, petroleum product, there's about 50 different kinds of names, but like a baby oil, for example, is like, that is a mineral oil, which is a petroleum oil, not again, like at the gas station, but it's all, you know, derivatives. Or there's like coal tar derivatives, which are used as colorants. And I mean, it goes on and on. And we just don't work from that palette at all, because it, you know, and then there's the layering of it all. Like, you know, so that apparently this statistic is like the average woman is putting about 200 various chemicals on her body daily in the name of beauty products. And yes, many things can be endocrine disruptors, but fragrance does have that as well. It's sort of more known for that. And then the word fragrance on a label can have a few hundred ingredients behind it. It's just sort of a general clause.
Wow. So if we were reading a label, you know, this show is high achieving midlife women who want to live their best lives. And we were looking for like the five worst ingredients. Like if this label has any of these five ingredients on it, like put it back on the store shelf. What would these five ingredients be? The worst culprits, you think, in our health and wellness as women?
That is a great question, but almost hard to pinpoint, because I feel like
there's so many. Well, give us some general things.
Sodium lauryl sulfate, for example, it's in so many toothpastes and in shampoos. It's
what is the ingredient?
Sodium lauryl sulfate.
Yes. Okay.
And then it has, there's a few other derivative names. That is ubiquitous as a foamer in toothpaste, foaming cleansing wash. Shampoo, and it is such a harsh detergent that it will mess with our microbiome. So that shampoo, it, with those type of harsh surfactants, will disrupt the scalp biome. Then it throws your sebaceous glands off. It throws oil production off. Could be creating a oily dandruff situation. Or in your toothpaste, for example, it could be the root cause of bleeding, receding gums. So that would be one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and a couple other ones.
Tar derivatives, which are used for colorants. And like if you see things that are like F, D, and C, yellow or red, those are synthetic colorants that are not beneficial either. Some of those preservative systems like that methylparaben, you know, and there's really so many things that could be used other than that. Then there's weird things like there's dry shampoos with like a butane in it. There's
That's lighter fluid. I know that.
Propylene glycol, which is like also used to de-ice your windows, you know, like in the car. Oxybenzene is the ingredient. It's banned in Europe, but it's a main ingredient in sunscreen that is not carcinogenic until it's exposed to sunlight.
Oh my gosh. And it's in sunscreen. Crazy.
Yeah.
So I got to ask if you, I know Living Libations, all the celebrities swear by it. It's been featured in Vogue and the Hollywood Reporter. It's the best of the best. But if somebody was in a drugstore, like a Walgreens or a CVS, and they had to pick a clean makeup line, which one do you like the best?
Well, you know, I'm actually not familiar with makeup lines on what level.
Like skincare or hair care.
What I was going to say to that is like, I don't know, for makeup, it's hard to think. We do make some makeup pieces, by the way. But if you were like, if you just brushed your teeth with like baking soda, had a bottle of hydrogen peroxide, of course diluted 3%, and then use something like organic jojoba and olive oil for like brushing, like for your skin and brushing your teeth, and you did that for the rest of your life, you would be far better off just with baking soda and a little hydrogen peroxide once in a while than you would with any commercial toothpaste. For example, synthetic mouthwashes, my statistics from 2012, so it could have increased, but synthetic mouthwashes, they're just classic in, you know, those classic ones, create 36,000 cases of oral cancer a year.
Oh my God.
You know, it just doesn't totally make sense.
That does not make sense at all. But I mean, I'm guessing that you color your hair.
You know, it's actually mainly my, if we were to see each other in person, you would see the gray.
Oh, you look just about colored hair. So I'm curious, like what hair color do you use that you think?
This is my hair color. And I have a really in-depth article on Substack that I just did a couple months ago. It's so long, but it goes through delaying gray, how to probably like you can probably undo some gray with those tips in there.
Okay.
If you need to dye, what you would look for, what you could do. It's like 30 years of all my hair care knowledge. I could just distilled it into this. So I just brought it all together. How to stop hair shedding. You know, how to get rid of dandruff. How
you
to
color your hair. That's your natural color.
This is my natural color. But there is gray. It's just not chunks of it.
Well, you look great. So you're taking your own advice and you're getting high on your own supply and it's working. I love it. So you often say that true beauty is an expression of biological harmony. What does that mean and how can women begin cultivating it?
Well, for me, other, you know, beyond a bottle of cream or another supplement or another thing to do is getting in touch or just being aware of the elements, as in like earth, water, sun, air, because we kind of cut ourselves off from that. And to me, it's like we come from that and we need to revive ourselves with that. So, you know, obvious things like walking in the woods, beautiful bathing in good water, you know, hopefully you have a water filter. Yeah. And, you know, working with, if you, morning light, the sun up until UV comes, until the violet rays come in, that is the original red light mask.
So how do we work with morning light? Like, what do you recommend we do?
The morning light's neat because it comes with a lot of near infrared. So you really just have to be in it. So that's not necessarily, you don't have to necessarily pause and like, you know, sunbathe. You certainly can, but that means you can like get out, walk the dog. Hopefully you can just witness that sun rising, just be in that. And there's so many parts of like on a deep scientific level. And that's a whole other thing we could talk about for hours is like, what is awakened in the body when your eyes connect with the actual ball of sun. We've got amino acids that get activated. We've got different peptides that get activated. Healthy cholesterol gets activated. Our melatonin, we think of it as a nighttime thing, and it is, but that's just a small percentage of the story. We generate, or we're supposed to generate, intracellular mitochondrial melatonin from the morning light.
Wow.
So these are like beauty secrets that are just there, you know, just like part of like the earth. And I mean, just sort of living in this cosmos. So to me, I think of that as like the foundational, your foundational beauty attendant is the gifts that the earth is offering, you know, and then the earth would be like, you know, hopefully healthy food. And then for us, making all of our botanical skincare formulations, we're obviously, you know, wanting the best from the earth in that sense.
So when we go out and look into the morning light, let's say we're just like drinking our cup of coffee outside, actually yes. Look at the sun.
Yes. So you can really, you can look right at that ball of sun for like the first hour. And then after that, you just need to look in the direction of it. And it's very good for eyes and eyesight as well. It's one reason I don't have glasses at 55 is because I do engage with the sun. And also when you can, if you step outside on a sunny day and you're like squinting, it does mean on a general level, you're kind of not getting enough real natural light into your eyes. And then when we're not, you know, preventing that squinting also does prevent things like crow's lines because your eyes are able to receive the light. So you're not just like that.
So how long should we look at the sun for?
Well, again, looking in the direction, you know, at the sunrise and the sunset.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Within that like hour window is beautiful. You know, for a lot of people, it takes a moment because to bring in that light. So you can just even cover an eye. And this is in books that are about even eye healing. So working with the sun in that way does actually help to repair eyesight on different levels. And that's, you know, time tested information as well. So we want to work with it. It's really, there's so much about beauty that's just been like, you know, no sun. And it's like, it's so much more nuanced than that. Like, of course, there's parts of water that can be dangerous as well, but it's not just like a yes or a no situation. So we want to know the sun. We want to know like where we live, you know, what is happening. Because, you know, I'm in Canada right now. So the sun is a different story than Hawaii. And so you want to know when does the UV come in? And then also the morning light does prepare you for a little bit of UV because when we get a little bit of melanin in our skin, because we do, now we know there's like 3,000 studies that show if we're not sufficient in vitamin D, mm-hmm. then diseases could start. Like if a woman is sufficient in vitamin D, her chance, her risk of developing breast cancer is reduced by 50%, which is, I mean, alcohol reduction is only a 15%. So you really could enjoy some sunshine and a margarita and be a bit better off.
We're going to hold that thought right there. And we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the threats to our skin's microbiome, like you just said, that women are exposing themselves to every day and they don't even realize it. So you guys are on a great journey with me and Nadine Artemis. She is an absolute legend in the world of clean beauty. And we're going to get right back to it after this quick commercial break.
You know how two people can be the same age, but one just seems to have more energy, better sleep, and recover faster? That difference usually has less to do with their actual age and more to do with what's happening underneath the surface. That's why I'm so excited to share the True Age test from True Diagnostic. It's an at-home test that looks at markers on your DNA using epigenetics to determine your biological age, not just how many birthdays you've had. What makes the True Age test so interesting is that it doesn't just stop at a single age number. You get your biological age, your pace of aging, and a breakdown of how 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, your brain, your lungs, and your liver. You also get 75 plus longevity biomarkers translated into clear, easy to understand insights around things like metabolic health and immune function. So instead of just getting raw data, you actually get a more complete picture of how your body is functioning day to day. And here's the important part. They don't just give you data, they give you personalized recommendations based on your results. Things like sleep, nutrition, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle changes. So you have a clear roadmap for improving your health over time. The process itself is so simple. It's just an at-home finger prick. You send it back in the prepaid kit, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get your full report online. So if you're serious about longevity or even just curious whether your body is aging faster or slower than your actual age, this is one of the easiest ways to find out. Right now, go to truediagnostic.com and use code BBA for 20% off your entire order. That's truediagnostic.com, code BBA for 20% off.
Did you know collagen production starts declining in your mid-20s and decreases every year due to factors like stress, sun, and hormonal shifts? By your 40s and 50s, that change can become even more noticeable, not just in your skin, but in how your body feels. Collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, and it plays a key role in skin elasticity and glow, smoother looking skin, joint comfort and mobility, and healthy and connective tissue support. That's why I've been loving Amari New Collagen. A simple way to nourish from within to feel radiant at every age, because beauty isn't about chasing youth. It's about supporting your body and feeling vibrant in the season you're in. Get the details and shop the link in the show notes for a special discount. If you haven't grabbed my Balanced Beautiful Bundle, what are you waiting for? This is my gift to help you create success without burnout and to elevate every area of your life. Inside, you'll get a free digital copy of my best-selling book, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time, where I break down my signature 7 pillars of abundance and share 21 powerful affirmations to help bring every pillar to a level 10. You'll also receive my favorite ageless beauty tips, my life-changing abundance journal prompts, and the Elegant Warrior Manifesto. If you're ready to feel more balanced, more magnetic, and more abundant, head to the link in the show notes and grab all the goodness. Again, that's the link in the show notes, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. We are talking to Nadine Artemis. She is the CEO and founder of Living Libations, a clean beauty line that is very popular. And she's. We were just talking about we're talking about being in the sun in the morning, which I'm going to start doing tomorrow morning. I mean, that's easy. I'm just going to have like my morning detox water and look at the sun for a few minutes. Easy thing to employ. And I'm sure it'll help me sleep better at night, because I have heard that when you look at the sunlight in the morning, it does help you sleep better at night because it resets your circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the threats to our skin's microbiome that women are unknowingly exposing themselves to every day?
Yeah, I love that, because it's the microbiome we've learned in the last 20 years is really so essential. And just how we were very sort of like in the 90s, sort of very cell and DNA focused, now we're understanding that the microbiome is just as equally as important. It's essential to us being alive. And it really does also mean that we are a host to a bacterial banquet, and we really are teeming with trillions of bacteria. It's kind of gross, but it's just... So we want to be a good host, and we want to create a good environment for that, because really on our skin, the skin is obvious. A lot of people know about the gut microbiome, huge. The skin is a huge microbiome, and so is like the nose, ear, throat situation. And the scalp microbiome is key. And for women too, the yoni microbiome. So when these things get out of, you know, out of balance, then other things happen because the microbiome is like a beautician for our skin. So we want to, everything that we're doing with the body, we want to be doing things that also work with and allow the innate intelligence of our body to be working with what we're doing. We don't want to be putting on lotion that then our skin microbiome is kind of going, oh, like now we have to counterbalance that because it's kind of affecting our immune system with those methyl parabens, for example. So we really do want to understand that there is a microbiome and we can't just like, we don't want to kill it, you know? And one reason why we were talking about mouthwash before is that synthetic alcohol is mutating the mouth's microbiome and the microbiome in the mouth needs to keep things in check. So we can't just have this sort of scorched earth policy. Like it's kind of like with pesticides and farming or overuse of antibiotics. When we just do too much, then we're wiping things out.
Yeah.
Wiping out the good bacteria and the good bacteria is keeping things in check. So it could be just with a lot of the topical things that we're applying on the skin with, you know, all or different very chemicalized oral care ingredients. Or for the yoni microbiome, you've got like polyester underwear, not a good situation. We've got to allow everything that we're putting on in our skin, we want the breathability to still happen. So when we're working with synthetic things or like some kind of mineral, like petroleum oil derivative, or a lot of those ingredients we were talking about before, it's kind of like putting invisible, like saran wrap layer on our skin. Mm. And we're allowing breathing. Or if we're using shampoo with a lot of, with just different chemicals, there's going to be a microscopic residue that doesn't ever kind of rinse away. And they've been able to show that with some microbiome mapping. Like that sunscreen that goes on or that shampoo, it's even if you've showered it out, it's still there days later. Or with if we're washing our face with synthetic surfactants, what happens is when they look under a microscope is that the surfactants are creating microscopic splinters in the stratum corneum, which is that top layer of our skin, and they don't come out with rinsing. So then after a while, that area, you know, you could have a buildup or like some kind of blemish there or melasma. So there's, you know, a lot of stuff that we're doing on a daily basis isn't respecting the microbiome. And that is a key thing for health, longevity, and beauty.
I have a question. What's really trendy right now, and I even tried it, is those gua sha brushes, brushing your face.
Yeah.
And I tend to get dermatitis. I have really sensitive skin and it created dermatitis on my chin. So I know what another big trend in skincare is like keeping the barrier because so many products are too harsh. They're like glycolic acid and AHAs and so much stuff that actually wears down the natural barrier of the skin. What do you think about the trend of like brushing your skin and how that affects the delicate barrier of the skin?
I think, you know, dry brushing or skin brushing, like which you can do all over, is really good. I know what you're speaking of. I'm not sure what the fibers are made out of. So that could be one thing, but you could just simply do a light gua sha as well, because those stones you can keep really, really clean. And I forgot what I was going to say.
You're saying the barrier, like how do we keep it intact and not do things that are like, and they're like, we're over exfoliating, I feel, with retinols and all this.
Over exfoliating. And then we're exfoliating with things that like plastic beads and a whole bunch of stuff. And that's very disruptive to the microbiome. Yeah. So the lipid barrier, the acid mantle, the stratum corneum, those are all the very top layers that we need to like just honor. And the whole way we've been washing our face, I think, is incorrect. And I have a deep dive article on the ancient art of oil washing, washing with oil, which sounds crazy, especially if you have like cystic acne or something.
Yeah.
But like attracts like, and if, of course, not any oil, you know, again, you're not going to use that petroleum oil, and you don't want to use like a rancid almond oil or a grapeseed oil. Like even in the natural world, we need to make decisions. So if you're working with a beautiful olive oil or jojoba, we do make these things called the best skin ever, which is just literally revolutionized people washing their face. And people clear up their cystic acne. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks, but normally people are seeing like results even overnight, you know, next few days, and they're getting more excited because when we're washing with even like a mild foaming cleanser, we are disrupting the microbiome. We're disrupting the sebaceous glands. Now they're going to start overproducing because we've gone too far. Or I know in the 80s, you know, we were all using that Clinique toner. Just like
that. I can't believe they still sell that. I know.
It's crazy. Or like, you know, I think was it benzyl peroxide on zits and all of that. And all of that is just counterbalance to what the microbiome actually needs in that area. And it will take care of it. So when we use a beautiful, like I love using jojoba because it is like the oil that is most synergistic with the sebum and the skin. Mm. It literally lifts everything out of the pores. It removes makeup. And you never have to use, the only area you need soap for is like pits and bits. That's it.
That's hilarious, pits and bits. So, okay, if you're using oil on the face, you put the oil on the face, and then how do you take it off the face? Just with water?
Yes, you can do, generally you can just like, you know, wet the face, and then either on like a cotton round, like an organic cotton round, I suggest that if there's a lot of acne or like rosacea, and or a lot of makeup. And then you wet that, you put on a squirt of oil, and then you just, you know, you go like that. Or it could be a cloth and like a nice terry cloth that has like that bit of texture. That's all you really need for exfoliating. And if you added just like a pinch of baking soda, it would do a little bit more exfoliation. So that's really the extent that the skin needs. Because also when you have the microbiome intact, then that system is going to be working. So that's all. So then you do that oil with the cloth or the pad, then you rinse. Mm-hmm. And then usually guys are done at that stage. And then a woman would usually, you could add one more squirt of like the best skin ever or the olive oil, the jojoba, or then you can move to a serum or a cream and that's it. And it will transform skin. And it's so anti-aging because you're taking your skin out of that cyclical nature of like stripping the stratum corneum, the ass, all the things that are protective. And including the microbiome. And then you're just working with it, working with your skin.
Well, your skin looks absolutely beautiful. So obviously, you know, it's working for you. You look very radiant today. Let's talk about how the health of our skin influences other systems in our body, because whatever touches our skin goes into our blood, which goes into our brain, affects our hormones, our mood, even our immune system. How does the health of our skin influence the other systems in our body?
Yeah, it's totally connected in both ways. Like on one level, if we're sort of congested in our digestion, that could like, so there's constipation or just disruption there, or IBS, you know, that could lead to things like blackheads and breakout because the body's just finding a way. We got to let this out some way.
Yeah.
So topically, what we apply to the skin goes in and we don't, and it can be sort of more dangerous to the bloodstream because it doesn't have the filtration of digestion, kidneys, and liver. Mm-hmm. So it does go in. And then that, again, so that's why they're finding things like parabens and diseased breast tissue, for example. So yeah, it all goes in. But that's also a good thing because then our skin can also be used to get things into the body. Like we have a cream with vitamin D. So then that's a way because transdermal absorption of vitamin D, even some minerals like vitamin E and K, great way to get it in through the skin. Or if you've got, you know, we work with things that are rich in pigments, like I actually have it here. I have like two of our, like see those colors? That's totally natural.
Well, what are those products called?
This is our Everybody Loves the Sunshine, which is like a golden tanning oil, which it does, you know, it, with the sun, it will give you a beautiful tan and protect you a little bit. It'll stretch out your time, but depends on your skin color, like if you're Irish or Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And then one of our best skin evers, it's the sandalwood. Mm-hmm. And that's what you can wash your face with, use as a body oil. You could use it as a scalp oil, help to balance the scalp microbiome again. Why was I mentioning this? Because then you're getting these pigments into the skin as well, and you're getting that plant nutrition delivered transdermally. So it's a great way that we can work with our bodies to drink it in, or it can be a bit of a kryptonite situation where we're allowing those ingredients in that we don't want.
Well, you came in at the perfect time. I swear to God, I had a Bath and Body Works Bahama spray in my car. I've had it there for 5 years and I was so bored at a light. I'm so type A. I feel like I have to be doing something. And I reached in today and I used that Bath and Body Works spray. I'm going to be throwing it away now after this. It's like, there's no boredom worth putting that on my body.
Did we send you some perfume? If not, we should.
I don't think you sent me perfume, but I did get a few other really great products. I got the Best Skin Ever, the serum.
You can start washing your face with.
Yes. Just put it on a cotton round, which I have, put it all over and then rinse it off.
So wet that cotton round, squirt one or two squirts.
Oh, you wet the cotton round first.
Yeah. So then the water just sort of opens things up.
And then you don't believe in toner after washing to like, cause
sometimes it's really simple, but yeah, we have beautiful, like a frankincense toner. We have a rose toner. But you know what's a great toner that anybody can make at home? Is like a 30-40% dilution of apple cider vinegar, organic apple cider vinegar, throw it into a spray bottle. It's like the perfect acidic touch.
I have apple cider vinegar. So what percentage of apple cider vinegar and what percentage of water?
It's rough, like really anywhere between 30 and 50. It can be strong. So start, slower, and then just use like a pure spring water, a distilled water, throw it in a spray bottle, or just put it on that cotton round. Like after you've washed, it just is like a nice, acidic clearing, and then put on that moisturizing drop.
I love it. What do you think of witch hazel? That's a pretty clean toner too.
Well, witch hazel is a great botanical and it can be a pure hydrosol, but pretty much everything on the market, if you looked at the back of the label, it would have ingredients that you don't want, including alcohol and generally a glycerin. Mm. Now, glycerin's kind of neutral. It's not like it's inherently evil, but it does create osmolarity on the skin. So if you use a lot of it, it actually creates a temporary moisture, but the cell is like releases its moisture. So for example, in glycerin-based lubricants, what they found under the microscope is that it creates inside the yoni, cellular raisins is what they were calling it, because then if there was an overuse of something like a KY jelly, there would be the cells inside would shrivel up and slough off. So a temporary plumpness for a long-term drought.
That is not good. I like coconut oil. I think that's the best lubricant ever.
Coconut oil is beautiful. It is a bit thick at kind of room temperature. So you could even just do 80% olive oil with a coconut or jojoba. And again, always looking for that organic, unrefined versions of like olive oil and coconut oil.
You're like a really smart scientific hippie chick. I love it. You're awesome. We are going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the biology of joy, because that is why we're doing everything. Joy is the evidence of God. So we're going to go to a quick break and we'll be right back. What if your dream retreat really existed and you got to help create it? If you're a high-achieving woman who's been doing all the things, I need your help. I'm planning my next luxury wellness retreat, and I don't want to create what I think women want. I want to create what you actually dream about. Tell me, what's your dream destination? What activities would light you up? What feels like the perfect investment, and how many days would help you truly reset and realign? Think wellness, connection, community, adventure, luxury, rest, and whatever feels nourishing to you. If you've been craving success without burnout, this retreat is being designed with women just like you in mind. Take my 2-minute survey. It's linked in the show notes. And who knows, your dream retreat might just become a reality. Do you feel like your love life is stagnating? Have you been single forever and feel like giving up on love? Or maybe you're in a relationship that's lost its magic. I want to give back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant community with a complimentary 15-minute romantic reset call. It's a space to reconnect, reset, and recalibrate your energy around love. Together, we'll uncover what may be blocking connection and create a fresh spark so that you can feel more open, aligned, and ignited in your love life. Because love isn't about forcing or chasing. It's about creating space and becoming magnetic to the connection you truly desire. Get the details and book your complimentary reset call in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for coming back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I'm interviewing beauty expert, clean living guru, Nadine Artemis. So, Nadine, one of my favorite topics that you teach is the biology of joy. What is actually happening in the brain and the body when we intentionally engage in practices like scent, breath work, sunlight, and natural exposure? And how are these practices enhancing the biology of joy?
Well, yeah, I just feel like anytime it's a sunny day or I've been in the sun, I just feel that biology of joy. Yes. I think it's also, yeah, appreciation we know is good, which I feel is connected to that. And then when we can appreciate what we're really putting on our bodies also feels good. I've just come across some really interesting studies that show, like, so we love when things smell good. And again, we're talking about pure essential oils, not like a synthetic whatever, like a Glade air freshener or something. But what's really neat is there's these studies that show, and it was a pretty serious study. For example, if you're inhaling 2 hours every night of an essential oil, and they said rotate it like on a 7-day basis, your brain matter grows. There was like over a 200% increase. And forget the name of the part of the brain, but definitely it was like hooked up to like the part that kind of can get affected by things like Alzheimer's. You know what I mean? So it was like helping the unaging of the brain. And if they did it for, yeah, like the results were astounding. So I have the science of that coming out, and just smelling rose oil. So that could be, so we have like so many rose things. We got deodorant, we've got perfume, and it showed if you smell that for half an hour a day, there's also the gray matter. I just don't have the article fully in my head yet. But so there's like so you can surround yourself in what you would normally be doing, which is like, you know, washing your face and putting on perfume. Just got to plug in my computer. But you can do it in a way that's like literally for your biology. And what we also know from some of these essential oils is that they do connect with neurotransmitters. Some of them are just like a lock and key, and they do communicate to the hypothalamus, which then releases different good brain chemicals. So it's our sense of smell is completely connected to that, to the actual molecules of joy. And what we also know is that when people do have their sense of smell affected, or there's smell loss of smell, then, you know, that can be a pathway to depression. Mm-hmm. It takes a bit of the joie de vivre out of life. So the nose is a really good pathway to access joy.
So if we could only have 3 essential oils that we put on our, you know, pillow and on our body before we go to bed, what are your top 3 essential oils that every woman should have?
That's a great question. Well, I think frankincense is stunning and gorgeous, and it's great topically. You can put it neat on things. You can put a drop on your tongue each day and just put that tongue to the roof of your mouth, and that does good things. So there would be frankincense. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're talking about bed and all that, lavender, it's so classic, but when you get a real genuine lavender, it's really quite beautiful. It's so hard to pick 3.
Well, you can pick 5.
Something like chamomile, just classic. Mm-hmm. You can put drops in tea. You can inhale that. That could be one of the things that you're inhaling for 2 hours each night. You know, rose is just so, so epic. And there's so much history with it. And it's really, it's so medicinal. You know, it's like slightly analgesic. It's so good for the immune system. It does something called, well, most of the oils do, but quorum sensing, which literally means if you're using it in oral care, and we do have it in our oral care products, it literally inhibits the communication and the gene expression of pathogens.
Hmm.
So this is like, they smell good, but they're like really, they're really such special substances, especially for these times, because They have the beauty of the aroma. They have the beauty of like helping us physiologically with our skin, like healing a scar, getting rid of acne. And then they're just like these stealth agents that can also work with like bust through biofilms, affect pathogens, but work with the beneficial bacteria. Because they're bacteriostatic substances, which doesn't really matter like fully what that means. But what it does mean is that it won't destroy the microbiome and the good bacteria, but it can help clean up the stuff we don't want. And that's really, I think, a key thing for these times.
Definitely. I love it. So if somebody is feeling stressed, anxious, or emotionally depleted, what is a simple daily beauty ritual they can begin today that will help regulate their nervous system naturally?
That's a great question. It can be something so simple as just having like a favorite essential oil or something that's been studied, like bergamot, which is the smell of Earl Grey tea. It's a tiny citrus, and it was extensively studied in the 80s to be anti-anxiety and antidepressive. So you can literally have a bottle and smell it, or you could put it in a salt pipe and smell it. You know, or you can we have it in perfumes. So you just like start anointing your life with the things that feel good.
So is Earl Grey tea a natural antidepressant because it has bergamot in it?
I think if you're smelling it, and that's what people really, why do they love that? They love the smell. And 80% of our taste is smell. So it's just, you know, but you can even add bergamot, drop a bergamot to your own tea. You could put it in honey and put it in.
Wow, just finding a daily ritual with scent is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
Lift your spirit.
Look, like I'll have this article on our site soon, but it's called The Night Shift. And I think anybody that's looking to shift their mental perspective is doing a course of, you know, just diffusing the essential oil on your nightstand. We have these little diffusers that actually happen to go for 2 hours a night. So I thought that was great because it worked with the study. Perfect. And you can swap out the bottles and you can travel. It's very portable. And all you have to do is just press that on and just go to sleep. And it's just doing the work.
I love it. So let's talk about teeth hygiene a little bit. Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest misconceptions people have about caring for their teeth and their gums?
Yeah, I feel like just like we've sort of been over exfoliating, we've just sort of been like over scrubbing in a way, like and taking really caustic chemicals and just being like, you know, just going too hardcore, like a bit Lady Macbeth on everything where we're just like out. So we want to swap up ingredients in a way because like, you know, the ingredients we got, the sodium lauryl sulfate is a major player in toothpaste, or things like triclosan, which has been banned from hand soap and sanitizers, but is still in toothpaste.
Wow.
And is damaging to aquatic ecosystems, which I think we are kind of an aquatic ecosystem.
Yeah.
So there's that, you know, and we all just grew up with like, well, you just sort of brush with, you know, your tube of toothpaste and hope for the best. But we didn't know even about the oral microbiome, you know, until kind of recently. So that's a big shift in like how we're cleaning. But again, if you just use things like baking soda, which is, it's very alkaline. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think, oh, is it too abrasive? But there's actually like a dental abrasivity rating. And baking soda has an RDA of 7 or 8. And like sensitive toothpaste that are out there in the market is 70.
Whoa.
And some toothpaste are over 100. So baking soda is just fine. It's alkalizing. It's buffering. It's working with your saliva. Because we want to be working with ingredients that are also respecting the saliva. And we want like an alkalizing saliva. It's kind of like a little ocean in our mouths. And we need that salty alkalinity to take care of our teeth.
You have a toothpaste in your line of beauty products. Is that made with baking soda?
Yes, baking soda is, we have a few, we have like, yeah, that was one of, like back in the early, in the 90s, I made this dental serum, which started it all, which was the Happy Gumdrops Dental Serum, which was for helping like receding gum lines, canker sores. It could replace toothpaste. It's a really concentrated, you know, it's got the rose auto in there and tea tree and clove and cinnamon, all these time-tested ingredients that have been used for thousands of years for oral care. But then now we have the science that shows why they were used for oral care, because again, of this like quorum sensing, bacteriostatic nature, and they can help the gums. We have a frankincense toothpaste that is really good for sensitive teeth. So what's in the drugstores right now is just sort of anesthetizing the teeth, band-aid solution, not getting to the root of the problem, where a lot of that sensitive teeth or the sensitive tooth issue could be just be coming from the gums because they're starting to recede and their job is kind of hold that tooth in place. And then if the gums are receding, you're getting new enamel exposed, and that enamel that's generally behind the gum line isn't the same as the top. So it's more vulnerable to like gum line cavities, all that sort of stuff. But you don't have to just anesthetize the tooth for the rest of your life. It's like, take care of the gums, take care of the oral environment, and then you can be free of that band-aid solution.
So are you more inclined to use an electric toothbrush or traditional toothbrush?
That's a great question. I did design these eight steps to successful self-dentistry, and we use both. Mm-hmm. So they're first using a manual one. We like ionic toothbrushes, and right now we work with Curaprox because they have this really great head that has like 1,000, it's called Velvet, a velvet toothbrush, and it's got like 1,000 microfilaments, and it really gets the gum. So you think of that first manual toothbrush as you're getting right up into the cheek, and you're kind of just brushing the gums, but you're doing it in one direction always, which is like, so it's not like the movie Grease where it's like brusha, brusha, brusha.
Yeah.
Going down, you know, the top row is just down. It takes a moment to get used to and you can get faster, but you're just going to go in one direction. Because if you're going back and forth, you're kind of sweeping microscopic debris under the rug of the gums.
Mm.
You don't want that happening. Then you would use an electric toothbrush, which we have one that's like got a good angle. It has a very low EMF. Some of the sonic is like really high pitched and annoying, but also just like a classic $25 electric toothbrush will also kind of do the job. Like if that's the budget, it's so fine. And then that's when you're brushing the teeth more as opposed to the gums, and you're focusing on that polishing. Mm. So it's good that we take time for both the gum as a brushing situation and then the teeth.
And what was the name of the toothbrush you recommended?
It's the Curaprox one with the velvet head.
How do you spell it? Curaprox?
Yeah, like Curaprox.
I'll have to check that out. Now we're going to do some rapid fire questions to end this interview. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Coffee or tea?
Neither.
Okay, you don't drink tea? Okay, what do you like to drink?
I drink water with like minerals in it and ocean minerals and stuff.
Sunrise or sunset?
Both, but generally sunrise.
Favorite essential oil right now?
So hard, but I'll take the frankincense occulta.
One daily non-negotiable for your health?
Sun, if it's sunny.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Most underrated beauty secret?
I think washing with oil.
There you go. A habit everyone should stop doing immediately?
Brushing your teeth with chemicals.
Mm. Favorite way to boost joy in less than 5 minutes?
The sun, or smelling an essential oil, or hugging my husband or son.
Or best beauty advice you ever received?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Best advice you ever received? Life advice?
Or
business or anything?
I would say anybody that's talking about like getting, you know, connected with the sun and that it's okay to, you know, and because that I feel like that circadian rhythm is the biological anchor that is non-negotiable for our bodies, yet our modern living and our brains think it is negotiable.
Oh, I love that. What are you currently learning or studying?
Oh my God. I feel like I study a million things a day. Subjects that I'm already even into, but I'll just go deeper, like more on the sun or more on everything. I love looking at different biohacking equipment that concentrates the elements. So we're playing right now with carbon, like carbon baths.
Yeah. Very cool. You're so cutting edge. I love it. A book that changed your life.
I love any Rumi book.
Beautiful. Finish this sentence. Abundance means?
Abundance means goodness and joy and appreciation.
I love it. Well, this has been a delightful interview. Thank you so much for creating your beautiful, clean line, Living Libations, and for all the beauty and health advice you shared today. I'm sure people are going to want to know where they can get your products and want to stay tapped into all your wisdom and everything that you're sharing with the world about health and wellness and beauty and joy. Where can people find you?
Thank you. At our site, livinglibations.com, and then classic channels like Instagram. We have Living Libations or Nadine Artemis. And then my Substack, I have a couple articles out, but there's a really awesome deep dive on hair care. It's like 30 years of everything I knew about hair and just getting it all out. And then I have some other articles coming out soon on things like rosacea. I've got the one about, you know, inhaling rose and how that grows brain matter. So that's where I'm just sending you some deep dive articles.
Amazing. Well, we'll include all those links in the show notes. Thank you, Nadine Artemis, for being my guest. And thank you, listeners, for being on the journey with me that you can achieve success and happiness in life through alignment, not the hustle and grind. And please share the show with a friend. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, beautiful, abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you. Level up, don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. Someone